Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, Paul. Right, let me start. I'm going to waffle on for a few minutes and then you two take away.
So I can carry watching German football.
Right. Don't make me laugh already, mate. Okay, it's Red News Podcast 69, and it's Monday night after the madness of the weekend before, and that was a quick clip of probably the best moment of my Saturday after all the rowing and the divisions. It was nice to be with real people, and that wasn't at 11 o'clock at night. That was in the Bull's Head at 7:30 as me and Steve grabbed a quick pint and the place was fucking mental. There were people singing, there were people dancing. So right, I'm joined by Nick and Nathan. Thanks a lot, lads, for giving up your Monday night. I've gone all posh again. I've got my fizzy water out and I'm just going to do a boring monologue to start off with, which is basically, I don't know how we play this. We talk football, we talk the protests, or we just merge them into one, but they're all a bit interconnected afterwards. I will say, I'll end it with a bit of positivity about the football. Nick's been injecting it into my veins and I've finally accepted some. I would say, you obviously saw, or a few of you would have seen, I've given Twitter a couple of weeks off. It was just doing my head in, and then I was getting my boy ready, I think, last week at some stage in the morning, and I woke up to see some, you know, that oddball calling me a disgrace to Manchester United, and 50 people had liked it, and I just thought, what the fuck am I doing? It's just, you know, it's just not an enjoyable experience. It just felt nice, apart from a little pissed up angst on Saturday night. I'm just avoiding it, so if you want to email. I would say nothing was easy about Saturday. The one good thing about selling is you get to see lots of people. You get to see lots of people walking past. You get to lots of people asking you, is that the programme, when you're holding a fucking massive Glazers out. But there were a lot of people who may not have walked or whatever. And it's definitely not time for the recriminations around, but a lot of people had angst, and everyone has a different story. It was Kev who was bringing his two kids to their first game, not finding it easy. It was a Red I talked to. It was, you know, felt tortured about it. So nothing is just an easy tweet of you do this, you do that. What I would say, we've had these lot for 15 years, and I was just going through then an old mag from September 2009 to make sure I'd been consistent. We'd just won the European Cup, we'd just won the league, and I was pointing out the Glazer debt and its impact on transfers will come home. So it's not like the fanzine. So when people say, you know, the fanzine needs to do something, we've been stood out there for 15 years pointing it out even when times are good. And on Saturday, Nick especially, you know, had a bad. We sold 200 for 75,000 people. It's not another, oh, you know, poor Red News. But if 75,000 people walk past and 200 buy, our impact as a voice, unfortunately, as much as we'd like it to be bigger. So what I'd like, I know there's lots of ideas being floated about, is somehow if we can think, but we've got time. My view is the 15th anniversary is in May. So we don't need to rush into something for Watford. And something that more people can agree on than disagree. How we do that, I don't know. Maybe try and organise a meeting or something. But West Ham seems a significant game with 15 years of their takeover to try and think what can join us. Then I would say, I actually made notes, believe it or not, again, I'm doing well on this. The positivity about the football side was, I felt, after being low after Burnley, that the City, not Tranmere, but Maguire's had a good few weeks. Fred has had a very, you know, I'll eat a lot of humble pie, still keep going. I actually saw Low City was, you know, an anomaly because they weren't at it and, you know, the game was a bit odd. But I felt positive going into Saturday, and it didn't really, the 0-0 didn't dim it. I thought Fernandes gave me a little bit of a brightening that his positional play in the first half was really good. He noticed, probably, fucking hell, what are these lot? But he managed to just edge himself in and create space for himself, which I put, you know, like Anthony Martial didn't create space for 90 minutes that Fernandes was doing from about minute 10. He was shooting. So I'm going to leave it to you now. But it's going to be shit. You know, this season is going to be shit. It's going to carry on the same trajectory it has. But I sort of saw, I didn't feel as flat the last couple of weeks as I have the last 2 months. Right, go on. Sorry for that.
It's all right.
Who's going first?
Nathan.
Yeah.
I think, like, obviously, Fernandes, it was a positive start. It would, like you say, like, when the person that he's passing to up front is really struggling with any kind of form, that was a bit frustrating. But you know that hopefully when Rashford's back, or you know, this young lad the guy that we've got on loan is giving us other options, get Greenwood playing, and hopefully that his better vision and movement and Fernandes's, hopefully when we've got someone who can actually put the ball in the net in front of him, that'll improve things. So I don't think Martial's there at the moment.
But is it lack of form, or is this just exactly who he is? You know, how many seasons are we going to say we'll see him, you know, we'll see the real Martial?
I think that it feels that a lot of people's patience is running out of him now, I feel.
Well, Nick's full
because
of anger. Yeah, go on, mate. Yeah.
I think he's a fraud, mate, Martial. I actually think he's a fraud. And I'm excited that he's like, I'm at a stage now where I think we're getting some guy from China who's 30 or whatever he is. He's scored a couple of Premier League goals, and I'm excited to see him up front. Like, that's how far we've gone. And I look at Martial and I just think, I thought he wanted to play up top. Like, what are you? Like, what is he? Can't hold up the ball. It's like number nine shirt's curse. It's like Lukaku could hold up the ball, and then he's come in, and the number nine do it again. He's such a bad forward. I am so delighted that fans are starting to realise it, because all the FIFA heads, they just love him and think he's great. And it's like, oh, great, you can nutmeg somebody. Wonderful. I've done that once. It's like, great, well done. What have you done lately? It's like, I could play up front for United. I get a couple of chances. I get you 5 goals a season, at least playing up front for United. And Martial's always got like 10.
I've said this before, Nick. My brother used to say that about Gary Birtles. It's always the fucking moaning fan who says, I could score that. You couldn't.
I could, because you know what? I'd be in the box from the start.
No, but you've not got hate. You've not got much hate for anyone.
He just wants the space.
And there's no one there.
But as I said against Burnley, Nathan, I know you couldn't do it because you were going away the next day. Greenwood showed more in 10 minutes with his movement. I mean, that... Yeah. They are clearly working on training, but doesn't someone go, look at that 18-year-old movement, creating space?
You'd feel embarrassed as a player, wouldn't you, if you're seeing like this, the young lad, Greenwood, doing that? Like,
you'd be embarrassed,
surely that
means
Martin would think, why am I not doing this?
Because he's not asked.
I
don't think he's asked, and I just think we should probably cash in on him in the summer, because I reckon we'd still get a decent fee.
Well, so who would pay it? And maybe the scary thing is he is asked, and this is actually who he is. A really indifferent...
He can't be some of his movement.
Yeah, but there's a difference between not asked and not being hungry. You know, as a striker, there's a huge difference in that.
Yeah. I don't know, he's always been like that, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But it just feels like, I've said it a couple of times, when Lukaku left and it left that void of someone needs to replace him, we said about it being Rashford and Martial replacing him with those goals. I feel that Rashford has continued on, until he got injured, he continued on that like upward trajectory. You can see he's developing as a player, whereas Martial's gone backwards.
Yeah.
It's like that added responsibility, and he's gone backwards.
I've just seen a lovely clip that you probably wouldn't have, of Daniel James speaking about mental health to the BBC Northwest. And you think, that, you know, but that backs up. He's saying lovely things about how important it is to speak, you know, and talk things through. But it does back me up that obviously if he was struggling, he says 3 months in, that he should have been having a rest before. And that's not getting an easy dig. But you know, going to the transfer, I mean, it's desperate. We're just desperate to get anyone and see if they'll punt in a few goals. But that we were flying on transfer deadline day for Josh King.
Yeah.
It's just madness. You know, it doesn't... Ollie has obviously, after City, said what we did ask was, you've got to sign players and get bodies in. So he's demanded this. But it doesn't go with the structural DNA. I won't get in anyone, you know, who's just a quick... We just flayed around.
Yeah. That was the thing before Rashford got injured, though, wasn't it? And it's a little bit different now. Now he's like, well, we need somebody for depth. It's... I mean, Josh King would have been embarrassing if he'd signed him back. I'm not saying that he's not good enough or whatever, but...
Yeah, but he wasn't good enough six, seven years ago, whether.
I know, that's not the point, though. The point is, again, it's like we're going back to these former players, and it's like, it's not worked out with Pogba, is it? You know, we should have cut Corbin, we should have signed him back. I've never been any different from that. And I put, if someone leaves United, they don't come back. It's that simple. I don't think you go back out there for whatever price it is. I just think he sends a really stupid message out there, regardless of how much you need somebody. I'd much rather take a punt on a guy, to be honest.
Yeah, but my view will be he'll score like 2 goals in 12 games, and in 2032 it'll be a quiz question that some will struggle pissed up on a fucking machine or something. I get it, but...
You just don't know, though, because, I mean, if he's going to be actually a proper forward, like, from what I remember of him, he could hold the ball for a start.
We've still got to get chances to him. We've still got to get a cross in, would be handy.
And do you know what, though? If he looks like he's half-sharp and he can make a run, he's already better than Martial. And I think it could be really damning for Martial, because if Igalo comes in and starts scoring goals, then this is going to be a real embarrassment for him. Even if he's not saying he's going to come in and he's going to get us like 15 goals before the end of the year, that's not what I'm saying, but if he comes in and he gets himself 7, 8, 9 goals maybe, which is a real possibility with the Europa League,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be really damning for Martial to say, look, you know, where the fucking hell have you been? How's this guy coming here? He's been playing in China.
Yeah,
I hope he does. I really, really, really hope. I've never wished for anything more in my life than for him to come in and be a success. Because I hate Martial that much.
Don't say that, Nick. I don't.
I know I shouldn't. I mean, I'm sorry, but I do. And I know I shouldn't do that. I don't even hate Pereira and Lingard. They're just crap. But at least they give a shit. And I said to Nathan on Saturday, I was like, I don't even hate them that much. I was like, at least they try. They're just not good enough. Martial, he doesn't try. That's not a footballer that tries. He's a third player, let's get,
Pereira has repeatedly... I mean, the chances he's got that he has not deserved recently to start games.
Just say before we move on, I think it's quite good that we've got this guy out. At least it's only a loan, you know, so it's like, it's for the rest of the season, isn't it? That there's no real pressure. Like, it's not as if we're tied down, that, like, we've not signed him fully. We're not tied down to this guy for a few years.
Yeah.
We've just got him on loan. And does that mean that they're looking ahead, that they know some proper business you want to do in the summer, that this is just like to bide the time? I don't know, but I quite like that, you know, and it could work out with him, and then we give him another deal or whatever, we'll see. But I don't know, I think I quite like that they've not fully panicked and just bought someone now.
Well, Josh King, you know, if we'd assigned him like for a year and a half, what I've always worried about in our decline is if we start entering the period Liverpool did, where they signed the likes of Jimmy Carter and David Speedy. And if you sign Josh King on a 2-year deal, you're stuck with that player on the wages.
Yeah,
and you think,
that's exactly what I mean. I think, you know.
But is he going to be quarantined along with Phil Jones? Imagine that.
Go on, as you were going to say about
surgical masks are £40 on Amazon at the moment, you know.
Where?
There you go. I bet someone's bought all those bastards up. Pereira. I mean, well, there's so many you could list. But let's positive. Maguire, in the last few matches, he's getting a lot of criticism. I thought he's looked captain-like. He's gone forward. His passing's been improving.
So yeah, you, like...
The defence looks...
Said about, what, was it the Tranmere game where he told Lingard to get off the penalty, give it to Greenwood? Stuff like that is making his mark now, isn't he, as captain? He's had a few weeks of having it properly, and it seems like he's building on that. So that's what we need, isn't it? It's good that... He's doing that.
And Ollie, we've asked Ollie, you know, show some fight. We were saying last time, him blasting Lingard was brilliant to see. And not just that, after City making the point, I want a striker who breaks my nose. So he's clearly got to be making those points that, you know, you're not doing enough. I loved seeing that clip of Ollie.
And yeah, there's a lot more of that than we don't see, though, isn't there? Yeah. That can't just be the first thing. It's just something that...
Yeah,
something
but it was nice to see it during a game.
No doubt.
And Williams again, another huge positive month for him.
Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? Although, to be fair, like Shaw has played good in the last couple of games as well.
I thought he was great on Saturday, you know, Shaw. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, you know, Williams should be in there.
Well, then
I thought Shaw was man of the match for us. That was poor Shaw.
But
he's got someone challenging him for his place now, hasn't he? So he's got a book of ideas up.
Yeah.
Tell me in a million years, this annoyed me for about 2 days, how Fred took that free kick last week, though.
I know.
Oh, God.
Matt are actually calling for it.
Who does that, like, fall down to? Is that the coaching? Is that...
Well, Matter was looking, and it's bollocks that...
Matter being too nice?
Yeah, I think Matter was too nice. He should have just grabbed the fucking ball.
Yeah.
You know, he has actually hit... two or three in like that from that range. Mm-hmm. You think Fred has never...
That's the thing that I heard on one of the podcasts, they were saying, if Matter had taken it and he'd have missed it, he'd have gone, fair enough, he's missed it. You wouldn't be saying, oh, I wish that Fred had taken that.
And there would be every fan in the world.
It's like, why was Matter not taking it?
I think it's a confidence issue, really, can't you? It's the only thing I can think of.
No, but Matt was desperate. You could see he was looking to the bench, and obviously they were either... daft or stupid, and there's no one there going, come on. I mean, Fred, whatever was going through his fucking brain, you know, I just don't know.
Just learned his lesson after Arsenal once he
said. But that's what I mean.
I know.
But what did you think about the protest then?
What protest?
Well,
yeah.
But what do we do?
That's unfair on the however many people walked out, but there was a few, wasn't there, on there? I mean, Twitter. And match-going fans for it are so different, aren't they, though? Like, you know, you see people just saying stuff online just to get a few likes, don't you? It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not walking out beyond the 58th minute. It's a disgrace. It's like, well, no one with half a brain cell is going to walk out on 58 minutes, mate. So put your likes away. Get back in your attention-seeking box. It's just, it's all crap in it at the moment. And, you know, fair play to those guys who walked out in 68 minutes. Me personally, I didn't want to walk out because I thought of the babe, so I didn't want to go. It's an important game for us, and I think that Watford onwards, I think, is a great time to start doing stuff. You know, I think it's easy to do it when, you know, you're drawing or you're not scoring and you're losing, but if we could try and do it when there's a win, I know it's harder to organise and stuff, but, you know, I think...
Yeah, but why does it have to be this... my view, you know, I've put in the mag, read the mag... But family members of the babes got in touch and said they didn't feel out, not from a club point of view, but there were going to be family members who I know, some of them have bought the mag for 30 years, who were going to be in the director's box as guests, and they found it very uncomfortable for them. So that was for me. But I don't get why, and I'm not poo-pooing, because I spoke to him before the game. He's got the energy. He's young. He's exactly what we keep saying, you know, needs to step forward. But don't get the desperation. We've had them 15 years. They've just, as we've put in the mag, extended the debt, you know, till 2029. So why can't we take our time to think and try and unite a little bit more? Mm-hmm. Well, Nick, you sold 10 fanzines, let's be honest, and it was horrible for you. That was like me for City, wasn't it? For 3 hours, you stood there. Yeah. What do you think is your barometer of it? Were people asking you, is that the programme like they did me?
Yeah, of course they were, but I get that every week. But I mean, this is the problem with United, and it's not a dig, because obviously there's a lot of day trippers and stuff, and I know people think that's it. It's not. It's like, for example, I've gone to the Nou Camp to go and watch Barcelona, or I've been to go and see the Yankees, for example. It's just something that you do as a tourist to tick off these kind of big sporting things. So that's not a knock at them, but I just feel like for us, it's going to be so difficult to have something organised, because the ground's so big. I mean, you look at the Red Army, for example, at the moment. I mean, I think this realistically got to come from them. You know, they managed to get a big enough section and a sizable movement. And, for example, if they all left on 68 minutes after the Watford game, that's going to get attention. You've got two massive blocks of people that are next to each other. You know, the only downside with the Watford game is that it's not on TV. You know, you've got the Derby game then on 68 minutes would be great. But again, I can't realistically see anyone doing for that. But again, it comes back to this. It's like such a big stadium. Just don't really know how you can organise that unless you've got those people that are condensed in a block together and it's visible. And again, with Watford, with it not being on telly, it's not going to be in the public eye as much as it would be in the Derby. But again, if we're 3-0 down at half time again, the people are going to be leaving on 60, well before 68 minutes then again, aren't they? So
yeah, but also,
it's that fine balance.
The TRA got a lot of stick, but if they hadn't have sung against Norwich, none of this would be happening. They started this off again by singing it, which we were surprised with. So just think, we just use each other, you know, constantly. It's how you can, you know, dig in. And I did see someone put, well, why would you, you know, what this view that, and I've espoused it time and time again, you know, United fans, we used to look at each other as, you know, you're a red. But I will say, obviously, there are, you know, people that you don't want to be mates with and you don't. But out of my life, I've got to meet Reds from Scunthorpe, from all over the country, you know, you lot, but everywhere, London, the South, you know, the Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland. I've got mates in Greece. I've got mates in Holland. And that attitude came from the person next to me. Oh, all right, mate, how are you doing? And it's not always worked. But with that attitude, it's got me the greatest moments and greatest friendships of my life. So that's why I say it so deeply. And like there were two, Mark from Barnsley, again, there was a Mick from North East who came over and was so kind about the mag and kind to it. He's been going since 1969. You know, and then you hear his story and you think, that's United for me. And I don't regret being what some people may think you're a dick by saying, if you're a United fan, try and look at them as a possible mate and as a good thing, you know? I won't ever fucking feel guilty about that. But I did meet you two, so I suppose. And
no,
Steve.
I agree. I think, like you say, we just need, it's just hopeful that something more coordinated can be.
But I hope we're getting the message
across. There's no real rush.
No, but you do well as well, Nathan. So I'm not, you know, but if people say, you know, the fanzines representing matchgoers and they're all walking past us, we're not anymore. We are what we are, you know. Mm-hmm. We need your summer support to survive for next season. We'll be doing that again. But we are just trying to be a voice. But please note, you know, we try and find the gossip against them. And we have always done this. This is nothing new, you know. And if we did, by some miracle, become successful again in the near future, we'll keep at them.
Yeah.
But I feel tortured. I didn't feel well. Like, I felt a bit unhinged last week about it. Or not, you know, not the real world, but just whenever I thought United, it was making me down about the. And it's silly, I suppose. Daft.
Like you've used the word before, but online it becomes toxic, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's a totally different world to what it was, like the good old days, or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's a lot of people who, it's like with anything in the world, people are a lot more, they're very different when they're hidden behind a keyboard than they are in real life.
Well, that's it. You know, what have you done? Well, I'm not trying, you know, but we've sold in all weathers, slating them, criticising them. We've taken that, you know, Glazers out in front of 75,000 people. I wrote for the national newspaper slagging them off. You know, I'm not saying there's people who could say, do more. But, and I also don't think, you know, I don't think it would be appropriate to have a bald-headed old Cockney, Red, as a leader. I'm not that. I've never have been. But I do want to try and encourage people to get together and fucking speak and fight for the better future and think of a way how to get rid of them and put pressure on it. We'd start a micro, macro. How? There's so many different views out there. I don't know how we get them all together. Peace and love. All going to bed like Yoko Ono and fucking John Lennon. And don't let us out until we've decided on something. I finished Deadwood, lads, on the film. I'd waited I poured myself a glass of wine after I finished the last mag, and I think the final words of the TV series tell him something pretty as he's scrubbing the blood, and then our Father who art in heaven, and he just goes, tell him to stay there. Brilliant. So got more enjoyment out of that than I've all season, but I don't feel as gloomy for the next. I'm gloomy about the season ahead, but I'm not as gloomy as I was after Burnley, which is a good thing, I suppose.
Yeah, that's good. That's fine. We've got a positive draw in the next round of the FA Cup, haven't we? We've got, you know, that's, and you know, you just got to keep going, and you never know.
Nick,
wow, I can't believe you just said that.
What?
That was just Nathan being slightly positive there for a minute. I'm glad you recorded this.
Well, it was good someone who came up and he said, oh, Nathan's the positive one, isn't he? No, no.
No,
he's not.
You know what the worst thing about Saturday was some guy came coming over to me and at the end and he was like, went, I know you, you're Nathan. I was like, no, you're not.
Well, you are Ant and Dad. But what do we, I mean, the breaks come at a good time. I'm knackered from all the games. God knows how the likes of Welsh feel and all that are. But what do we, you know, I saw that it made me laugh. They're going to Spain for this training camp. Obviously not Pogba because he's just his own enigma at the moment. But and they're going to be working on tactics. I thought, aren't they supposed to be done that for the last 6 months?
Well, I suppose you sign two new players, you've got to find a way to, you know, get them in the squad a little bit more, I suppose, haven't you? But you can work into that however you want.
For the lingo.
Yeah, it's not difficult, is it? Just put a big line through Lingard's name, just write Fernandez.
But he's not as bad, Lingard, for, oh, you know, I know, but he's not as bad as he is playing at the moment. That is a player so bereft of everything.
Yeah.
If he was confident.
Like Nick said before, like, he gets a lot of stick, but at least he still puts an effort in, whereas Martial doesn't either.
No. But did you see the Tom Cleverley quotes where he said how hard, you know, the criticism. So yeah. It does make me. Anthony Marshall's never going to hear you say, Nick, he's a fraud, but it does make you think.
He will do on the right to
him. On bed sheets. On bed sheets. Smeared in your excrement.
French fraud.
A dirty protest. But that, you know. The criticism obviously does get to some of them.
Yeah.
I don't understand all the booing in the stands, though, for, like, Lingard and Pereira. I think that's a bit harsh. Like, I don't think they're great players, but I'm not going to stand there and boo them and shout abuse at them. It's like, what's that going to achieve?
It's the scapegoats, we've said.
It's an interesting one with Lingard, though, isn't it? Because he has actively gone out of his way to change his agent to be the agent who the club has a massive issue with, and he's signed up with him like 2 weeks after all that kicked off again. So it's like, well, you're not making it easy for yourself to bring back favour with these fans or the club if you're going out of your way to do something like that.
It's almost a bit like he's given up, hasn't he? It's funny because Raiola said this week, didn't he? He said, oh, I've not got a bad relationship with United or Ed Woodward. And he's like, well, no, you're not, because I'm fucking paying you a fortune, aren't you? He's like, you're a good player. And I was like, you bet you love Ed Woodward, don't you?
I
know what you're saying about Lingard, but still don't need to give him shit. If you're still playing in your shirt, you should still be. You don't have to just don't do anything. You don't have to heckle abuse. I don't clap him. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't give him abuse. I give him the silent treatment. It makes me feel better.
Yeah, but I'm.
No, the silent treatment's worse anyway.
Yeah, but I'm pretty naive. I just want us to win, and whatever the team starts, I want them. I still want them to do well, even if I don't like some of them. Oh, yeah. You know. But there's a lot more likeable players in that team now than a year ago. So that is, I suppose, it keeps going. How many times have we said, "Is there any signs of progress?" And I sort of. I felt after City, but it sums how we can go from Burnley to a week later to that just baffles me. That is exactly what we are this season, a completely baffling side.
Yeah, just no consistency whatsoever.
But it did think after City and the Tranmere, the giddiness, whoa, but yeah, you know, you could sort of see, I know Wan-Bissaka's got to work on his attacking, but he's trying. You can see he is actually trying that. They are working on something because he's been going forward more, even though it's not been paying off. Mm-hmm. There are more players who've left. You know, with Rocco, we said get rid of Rocco. He's gone. It took fucking every effort. Like dragging him with fucking lead.
Although the message his mum left online was lovely.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a lovely bloke, but, you know, so are we. Pay me 50 grand a month. Week, even.
Pay me 50 grand a month. I'm quite all right with that.
I don't know, you know? Well, Nick, come on, you're usually super positive.
I know. Well, I mean, if you are positive, then you were saying about steps forward or strides forward in all these words. I mean, we played Wolves who were, whether you like it or not, they're on our level. We played them four times this year. We conceded once. Which yeah, I think, you know, that's always been these. I know, but it's, in terms of, like, defensive, you know, there's a positive for you.
Yeah, we have.
Because they've got a decent attack, haven't they? You know, this Traore is possibly a world beater, and he's done bugger all against Shaw and Williams in the games he's played, and we've kept some pretty relatively quite all right. That disallowed goal or whatever in the FA Cup maybe could have or could have not stood. I can't really remember it. But, you know, that's a positive.
But what the fuck's he been doing in the gym to get those sort of muscles in about a year? But we have not scored for three league games.
That's worrying, yeah.
And we've got 1 point from them.
But Martial's the second
coming. Yeah, but you can't just blame him, Nick.
I can't.
No, you can't. Come on.
I just, yeah. Again, this is what I'm saying about Igalo, and it's like, I'm actually excited to see him. And again, it goes back to how far we've fallen or whatever, but he's just got to be an improvement.
Do you think we've now, you know, would any serious European rival be where we're at, where we're going, right, yeah, that's much needed. But we're just flying in the wing for what, for fifth, for sixth? Yeah, Spurs, we've got that in the next mag, I got some gossip. Spurs were, bizarrely, we beat Spurs to that signing. I know, but I'm not getting on a bloke who's never, you know, he's not even played for us. At least he said he was a United fan. At least the right messages from the start. But just think, it sort of shows there's no plan.
Realistically, you've got to think that this is a massive opportunity for him. He's going to give his all. And, you know, he's got a six-month trial. Whereas if he wants to stay at the club for longer, he's got to work He's got to work very hard to earn that any extra time. So surely that's a benefit to us.
Yeah. But the last, I would say, you know, and I get the on the walkout and that, the accusations, you know, like that you're a collaborator for still going. And I've always maintained it in March 2005, I can't ever see myself giving up the season ticket. That's an addict. I know that's someone who can't give up the addiction. So I'm not a position to lead if that is my thing. But I had an interesting chat with a Newcastle fan, and it does, people go, oh, yeah, you would say that. But he said that they tried something similar where people tried to boycott their season tickets, and Ashley tried everything under the sun to get those seats filled. So they offered some for £10 cut price. They got lots of kids in. They tried to use it as a PR thing. And it did make me think, you think how, you know, devious our lot are, they would try anything to fill that. That's not an excuse, but it was just an interesting conversation that you know,
from another club.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think, you know, Woodward's under the pressure, so how do we keep that up on him? Nothing would please me more than seeing him removed and an actual proper football strategy released.
Yeah, well, I think
James Robson said that, you know, this could, and he's well briefed, that this could be out of the summer transfer spend. Well, if that's the case, fucking hell. The Fernandez deal, that is.
Yeah.
And should have been out last summer's transfer spend. Never mind this one.
And I've just finished off my mini cheddars from Christmas. It's taken a while. There's more in there than you'd think, you know? Right, go on, you two, talk.
What did you think of Fernandez's debut?
I wasn't. I say, the movement in the first half was pleasing. You know, even to the end of the season, you can't just let him just get used to it.
Yeah.
let's not put any type of pressure. This season, you know, we are going to probably, in the next four games, we're going to lose at Chelsea, we might win at Bruges, we'll beat Watford, and then we'll lose the next one. That is what this season is all about. So it's just where, all it comes down to is, can we win a cup, can we scab a cup, and will we finish fifth, sixth or seventh? That is it. Because we're not going to finish fourth.
There's no subject to fourth there. Right, okay.
No chance.
We're putting that to bed. But what happens if Fernandez kicks on and Ighalo gets himself 10 goals?
Because season, I know, but seasons rarely change that dramatically apart from Ollie when he came in. You know, every time Chelsea have given us an opportunity, we've blown it. So why is that going to change?
Look, we had another chance and didn't take it.
And well, then, the best chance you've got as well is next week, when you, well, the week after, whatever, when we actually play them, and then they cut your gap to 3 points. I mean, we keep winning at Stamford Bridge under Ole, touch wood. So
see, that's the one I want injected.
Why can't we though? I mean,
because we won't.
For winning there,
because we won't.
They don't seem to score.
We won't.
Yeah, but you said that we'd lose at Chelsea and win at Watford. It's like that's the opposite of how our season's been. We'll win away at Chelsea and we'll lose to Watford at home. That's what'll happen. That's more accurate. We'll do that, and we'll scab a win against Bruges away from all.
Yeah, but then there comes the point you have to do a Jose, and you have to concentrate more on the Europa than the league. You know,
you just throw everything at every single game, which I think Ole's done so far this year.
Has he?
I think we are. That's again, it might be a worry, but I can't say that we've not thrown everything at it. It just comes back to us not being good enough again. I mean, obviously, you know, you look at Saturday, for example. It's like, I do agree the squad's knackered because it's thin. I mean, I'm obviously pro Ole, and I've not made any secret of that or anything. You know, there was a couple of odd decisions still on Saturday. You know, after 60 minutes, I said to Nathan, I was like, I was not a sub edge thinking that game was petering out. Everyone could see it. It was almost a banker that it was going to end 0-0. There was going to be no goals that were coming from anywhere while that donkey was up front. And you just think, you've got people like, Ben James looked a little bit lost. He needed to come off a bit earlier. You know, I thought Greenwood might have maybe even started the game, just try something different or whatever. You know, he's a bit more of a genuine goal threat, isn't it? You know, and then you've got 2 or 3 minutes to go and you take your most creative midfielder in Mata off and shove Lingard on. He's not got a goal or assist in God knows how long in the league. You know, just thought some of it was, I mean, what are they going to do with 2 minutes to go when they come on?
Yeah. It was just totally bizarre.
You know, and to see Fernandez come straight into the squad, again, just shows how much of a shit show we are. But, it's like, it's worse than where we thought we were, isn't it? Because you usually see a new signing start on the bench, and not that I was knocking it, because he was probably one of our better players, but, you know, it's just all a bit up in the air with where all these players fit in this squad at the moment.
But when he was finding space and tucking himself a little bit back to allow the others to go forward and he'd hope that he could then move into the box, did make me think, well, our other players are useless at creating their own space. Even on the kit, you know, one touch go, we're just terrible at it. It didn't make me laugh the other day. Someone went, I've got a heart monitor on and I'm wearing it for 24 hours, including the game. And they went, nothing here will fucking excite me.
He was right.
Yeah. What's the answer then? We've got the other funny, the film academy after Nathan's porn story a couple of back. It made me laugh because I put what film genre are you as to promote it, and then a film academy music account with 1 million followers liked it. I don't think they realise that's not the type of genre I'm on about. Any more stories like that, Nathan, or are we?
No, nothing's happened since. I'll keep trying, though, just, you know, for the stories.
Here's a quote. Jonathan Wilson in The Guardian. United are a shambles. Their problems will not instantly be solved by replacing Solskjaer. He is not some malign presence sapping the life force from the squad, but there is simply no evidence, attractive as the dream may be, that he is equipped, just as all seems lost, once again to turn up to save the day. Other managers are available, but they will not always be. At some point, vague promises of youth and counter-attacking are not enough.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't, Nick. He's saying basically end the Ollie experiment.
No, I agree with what he's trying to say in the premise of it, but it's like, again, all the managers are available, and it's like, my whole point of this is, and I keep saying it, I don't think it really matters who's in charge at the moment. Well, the Glazers and Woodward are there.
No, but it does, because the Glazers and Woodward weren't controlling the fact that we made a double substitution on 88 minutes on Saturday.
No, but he's they're controlling the squad that's there, and he's like...
Yeah, but that's for the manager. The manager... It's the manager who's doing the tactics, the manager who's doing the substitutions. The fact that you've just been criticising the fact that we're making substitutions too late to make an impact on a game.
Yeah, but I'm just criticising one particular thing. I mean, I criticised Fergie for some of the stuff that he did. Didn't mean that wanted him out, did it?
But that happened. No, that's like that quote says. It's like, you know, we're not wanting him to go because he's a horrible person. But if it's not working to the as well as other people potentially could be, then maybe it's time.
But again, I still think we're overachieving at this moment in time for where we're at and for a team that we are. I really do. I really believe that. We could easily be 10th with Pochettino. No one talks about that, do they?
Well, we don't know. I still want him to be here in October, November, and then give a judge there. But I'm wobbling less than I did a couple of weeks ago. But it's almost... Sometimes I feel that Bobbles wrote in the Mag Before Last, you know, time flies when you're mediocre. And I do thought we sort of accept this now. We sort of... Oh, yeah, you know. This is it. There's not even the demand. You know, this was a side that demanded every game be won. And now it's like... We've won 9 all season in the league, Nick.
Yeah, I know.
The season's nearly over. You know, we've only got 5 or 6 home games left. We've won 9. We're in February.
Yeah. I know. I mean, the Premier League's more competitive.
Oh, it's bollocks. It's shit.
It isn't, though? You know, everyone's got pretty much the same amount of money. It's going to be almost like the NFL with a salary cap in it. It's almost ridiculous that everyone's got a level playing field of the money they can spend, and you see... Villa chucking a load of money in.
No, that's a misnomer. Nick, that's a misnomer. The Glazers want to spend the equivalent of what Wolves do. That's not that we won't spend that. That's they spent as much as Wolves did. That's not them, the other clubs, rising to our challenge. That's us going to their level. Take that as a telling off.
And it comes back to the owners then, which is Mary Jo Poyle. It doesn't matter who's in charge. Either way... It doesn't, though, does it? I mean, you say, OK, you can criticise all these certain subs and stuff, but...
Hang on, you're going mumbly, Nathan.
United are ahead of us in the league.
Yeah, well done, sir. Yeah.
So it's nothing to do... You know, we're spending the money, we're doing this, but they've got a better manager who is working his players perfectly to achieve far, far more than the sum of their parts. That's because of... who's in charge and what he's doing. So why are you saying changing and bringing someone else in won't make a difference when it will?
So, yeah, but it could make a negative difference, so it could drag us down. I mean, look where Pochettino had Spurs at the start of the year and got the boot.
Mm.
And look where he was.
It's true, though, isn't it? It's basically what you're saying, though, isn't it?
6 months before, he was in a Champions League final room.
So, you're only as good as where you were at the time. Doesn't matter, you don't want to talk about what you were doing years ago. About what you're doing now, when you had him in the bottom half of the league and he got pinned off.
So
that's not acceptable for us either. That's even worse. That's worse than where Roland is at.
Right, okay.
I'd argue with the worst squad. You know, he's got Harry Kane and Sonny with two far better players.
All we've talked about at the beginning of the season was we've made 3 amazing signings. We've got rid of Deadwood. We've just made another signing. And we're far worse now than we were a year ago.
I would say this sounds Mike Phelan saying this. I would say that the players do care and are trying more than a year ago or a year and a half ago. That's not much of a barometer. That does sound pathetic, really.
You can see that on the pitch.
But I agree that the football's certainly not better.
Exactly. And we've been told, and a lot of people have said that we've got rid of shit and we've brought in better players. So who does that fall down onto then?
I don't think we've brought in better players, have we? Let's
well, Maguire, yeah. Wan-Bissaka, yeah.
Do you think Garlow's better than Lukaku in his prime? Jury's out on that at the moment. The reason why he's been shipped off to Sheffield.
He's not even got into Manchester yet. You can't really use him as an example.
No.
Well, the proof will be in who...
At the beginning of the season, we made those 3 signings, and everyone was like, well, this is great. We've got 3 better players than we had. We've got rid of Deadwood. We've got 3 positive signings.
Deadwood, Woodward. Sorry.
But pretty much where we are. I mean, we finished sixth last year and we're fifth at the moment, so...
Oh, come on, anything, Nick.
That's progress.
I think we're so sixth, actually.
No one really matters. They're not going to sit here and remember the wins column at the end of the year, are they? They're going to sit here and they're going to go, oh, United finished fifth that year, or they finished seventh. They're not going to go, oh, well, United got 62 points this year, and the year before they got 65. That's going backwards. If you finish higher up in the league, that's fucking progress.
Yeah, but then
let's not get mixed up with this now. That is progress. No,
okay,
if you finish higher,
but then
whether it's good enough or not, that's a different debate. If you finish higher up and you move from fifth to fourth, that is progress.
Okay, then for me, the proof in the pudding is how he does February, March, April, May. This is almost like his job appointment is a CV and put up again, because we've got to see more now, especially if players do get fit. And I'm even, you know, McTominay coming back, right off Rashford for the season, just get him well. But we have to do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All being well, we are in the quarter final of the FA Cup. Let's not fuck that up and see where we can get with that. But I'm not, you know, let's see. Right, final words, Ed, we've waffled on. What do you, making sense of it all?
What was that? United this weekend, that's my thought.
What?
Thank God we get a weekend off
of United. Yeah.
Well, I think that it's come at a good time. You know, like you say, we brought a couple of other players in. They've got, you know, even though Fernandez played on Saturday, it gives them time to all work together, and then we go into a big game straight after, don't we? So it's come at a good time.
And how was Chilton after the match on Saturday?
Yeah, it was good. We bumped into a couple of American guys who'd been to the game, and they had no idea like what was going on with the football, but we ended up just having beers with them, and it was pretty good actually.
Did they?
He kept calling it Dalton. There's Charlton.
It was like a father and a son, and the father was like covered in tattoos, and like he was from Portland in America.
Yeah.
And, he's like a musician, and like he was in the same circles as like Nirvana and stuff like that. And now he's like a pastor. He's got his own church.
Yeah.
And, like, thousands of people who go to this church and stuff, and he goes around the world, like doing talks and stuff, and that's why he was over here.
Wacko.
It's quite interesting.
He was doing talking.
That's why you watched. That's why you listened to a wacko documentary the next day, Nathan. More importantly, I didn't have a subscription come through from Portland on Sunday. So what's going on there?
I'll get on to him.
They've got a good bar brewery scene there. I was reading up on that, like a sad bastard. Loads of beers, haven't they, in that?
Yeah, it looks nice.
Right, so we're going to end...
He follows the guy who cuts the wood at the Portland Timbers.
Oh, you sad.
He's good to know. Him when he's celebrity there. That's what I said to him when he said, oh, I was like, oh, where are you from? And I was like, oh, Portland. I was like, man, God, does... admire that football team. Some guy who just thought, let's just get a big fucking 100-foot tree and just cut that fucker every time we score.
Even his Twitter feed have people falling out of each other about how many slices of the tree he's taken off?
Well, I follow him on Instagram. I think he's called Joey or something like that. I can't remember. I bet
climate changers don't like him. That would be their first row, wouldn't it?
He's called Timber Joey.
Oh.
He's got 7,000 followers on Instagram.
God.
Just type in Timber Joey on Instagram, he's there.
Yeah, if I do that on Google fucking images, that'll come up with a wrong one. Right.
That's why it's on Instagram.
Keep, please support the mag, and I'll be back on Twitter for Chelsea and Bruges. But thanks, everyone. And thanks, you two, for standing in all revers again. I appreciate it. And Steve's a bit poorly at the moment, so we hope he feels better. He's got to get better for Bruges because we're sharing a double bed.
Get well soon, Steve.
Right, cheers, lads. Thanks.
Bye.
Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.